with the first pick in the draft, second pick, the third pick, with the fourth pick, the fifth pick.
Here's the pitch. He swings as a long drive to right, and it is a home run for Gibson.
He's got something. 30, he's 40, got something.
50,
he's got it.
40,
he's got it.
20, 10,
he's got it.
In zone.
You're listening to Fantasy Advice Bros. Here's your host, Ali.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ali, and I am joined by my brother Rams, as we are going to be the Fantasy Advice Bros. We are going to cover topics that are related to fantasy baseball. And recently, there was the NFL draft, and we are going to cover fantasy football, both NFL and college, as we are connoisseurs of both. We've been doing NFL and college fantasy for years, actually over a decade for me in NFL. And we'll be touching on baseball after this podcast, as I joined baseball for the first time ever with my brother's help. And speak of my brother Rams is sitting with me in our garage as we are smoking hookahs. So when you hear...
Or...
Pardon us, because we are inhaling and we are going to try to exhale more than inhale, as it would make a really bad podcast if we just inhaled. With that said, let's dive right into it. I'm very excited. The NFL draft takes place every year in late April. A couple times it's been early May, but this year's NFL draft was much more exciting than years past, as it was assumed this would be a defensive draft, but we got anything but. And let's start in the first round. Let's talk those first few picks. Myles Garrett went to Cleveland as expected, but after that, we had a couple of trades. The Bears take Mitch Trubisky. Shocking some, not shocking some. And what is the general sentiment that you're thinking when you hear Mitch Trubisky is called at number two?
So let's get into this, because I thought this was fabulous. Fabulous because I'm a Lions fan, and this was so stupid of the Bears. Not only is Trubisky not really a franchise quarterback, right? It's well documented. He only started for one season. Wasn't really that impressive. Best defense he played all year was Stanford in the bowl game, and he was horrendous. So he doesn't have, you know, that franchise quarterback makeup. People fall in love with his measurables. He's got a strong arm. He's 6'2", blah, blah. But even going into that, that's fine.
You know what, though? So let's take the audience back to a time where you and I were sitting in the garage watching our college fantasy players. We had the running back on UNC. And you,
Elijah Hood, yep.
Who ended up getting picked by the Arizona Cardinals late in the draft. But you would tell me you thought Mitch Trubisky is a NFL quarterback at the time. And you were all about him. And I'd watch him.
He had NFL talent. He has NFL skills. Again, he's got good size. He's got a strong arm. He can make all the throws. He can make an out route, whatever. But he's still not ready to start day one. If he could have walked into a Pat Mahomes situation, he can sit a year or two behind somebody. Even the year behind Glennon isn't going to do him a great deal, because he's still going to have all that pressure on him because of all the draft capital they gave up. Which was so stupid. They moved up one pick. More than likely, the Niners weren't even going to draft him. And even if they would have, they could have saved them from themselves. They gave up two picks to move up one spot. And again, more than likely, the Niners weren't even going to draft him. It made no sense on a team that was 3-13 and has a boatload of other needs anyway.
So to sum up our displeasure of the pick, as most Chicago Bear fans are not happy, from a fantasy standpoint, there's zero value in 2017.
Probably 2018, 19, and 20 as well.
Well, we'll find that out as it comes. Let's move a little bit into the draft in the first round. Leonard Fournette goes to Jacksonville, which I'm going to pat myself on the back because I called it to you live and you said OS.
In real time, yep.
I think there's a ton of value because Blake Bortles needs the help. Their ground game blows, even though they paid Chris Ivory last year, which didn't pay in dividends. They've had T.J. Yeldon, who blows my ass. What do you think, Fournette? Let's talk fantasy value out of this big stud who's been a Heisman finalist before.
It's a perfect situation for him from a fantasy perspective. I mean, he's a truck. He's a downhill runner. He's super talented. But the nice thing is you're not going to be able to put 10, 11 guys in the box like he would face when he would play like in Alabama, because they have so many weapons, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Julius Thomas, etc. What's probably going to hold him back is Bortles. But if Bortles can be semi-competent, which I doubt that he can, but if somehow he can be, he's going to have running lanes all season long.
I'm a huge fan. I think he's got late first-round value. I think he's Ezekiel Elliott light.
He can't catch
the ball like Ezekiel Elliott, which is what I was going to say. But, man, is he a grinder. I love him. I think he's going to be outstanding, and I think he's got a ton of fantasy value. Now, you can help educate me on the very next pick was a shocking one, the Tennessee Titans. I don't think anybody saw them drafting a wide receiver. They took your old friend Corey Davis, who you're a big advocate of. You were well before the draft, wide receiver out of Western Michigan.
Corey Davis is fantastic. There were mocks that had him going to the Lions at 21, and for as many defensive needs as the Lions had, I would have been okay with that. He's got everything you could want in an outside receiver. He has number one talent. He's big. He runs great routes. He catches everything. You could throw him deep routes, goal line fade routes. He'll do everything you want to do, and he's walking into a nice situation because Mariota needs some help. Mariota's been progressively better every year. It's a really, really nice fit there.
I like him. I don't love him as much as everybody else because he didn't play top-tier competition, but neither did Antonio Brown at the time.
Yeah, he's not the only wideout. That shouldn't hold him back too much.
I think it's going to take time. I personally wouldn't touch him before like the 9th or 10th round of a draft because I'm just hoping upside.
That sounds about right. The thing is, if he has a good preseason, he catches 3 or 4 balls in the preseason, he's going to fly up boards because that's just what tends to happen. People like sexiness. The rookies are all sexy, so people tend to overdraft them. I think when all is said and done, you'll be spending a 6th or 7th rounder on him.
Too rich for my blood. I personally wouldn't do it. Like you said, between now and then, we'll see. And then let's go to the Chargers at the 7th pick. They took Mike Williams out of Clemson, who before our college fantasy draft this year, I said would be the number one receiver off the draft board. And I said this a year ago because he's big, he's physical, he's very talented. He had a short season 2 years ago where in game one he got knocked out through his neck. Thankfully, he was okay. I personally love him, and I think he's a plug-and-play guy, especially while in San Diego with a gunslinger like Phillip Rivers. Great ground game with Melvin Gordon.
It's the most ideal fantasy situation for him, no question about it, because Rivers is so good. He throws a ton. They still have Keenan Allen, if he can ever stay healthy, to be a number one and take some pressure off of him. I'm a big fan of Dontrell Inman. I know that you're not, but
I did own him this year, but you're right.
He's PPR relevant. He's still going to catch 4, 5, 6 balls a game, whatever. My only thing with Mike Williams is super talented, big boy. He doesn't separate a ton, and that's kind of scary in the NFL. I know you feel differently. You have a lot more love for him than I do, but between him and Corey Davis, I much, much prefer Corey Davis.
I do. Let's keep going down this because the very next pick was out of Carolina, who I think wanted Leonard Fournette, but he's obviously off the table. They take Christian McCaffrey, Mr. Jack of all trades, broke the NCAA record for most all-purpose yards between returning kicks, receiving, running back. And 2 years ago, when we were sharing a college fantasy team, you picked him up in free agency and wouldn't shut the fuck up about him. And then I later learned why, and this was 2 years ago.
People, let me explain something to you. I am a fucking fiend and a bit of a loser as well. So, with college football, games start at noon. The West Coast games go all the way till 1, 2 in the morning. And I would watch the vast, vast majority of it. So a lot of times on those Saturday nights, it's Pac-10 games, Pac-12 now. Pac-12 games, and so I got a chance to watch Stanford play quite a bit, and McCaffrey just stuck out. He can run, he can catch, he can block. He's a 3-down back. He's not that big, so he's not going to carry 25 times, but he's ultra impressive. He fits so well in Carolina. All offseason, Ron Rivera kept talking about how he wants to get more playmakers. He wants to get more playmakers, and he fits what they want to do to the T.
So
that's going to be PPR gold, I think, because he's going to wake up and catch 40 balls next year.
So other than your wife having competition based on your love for him.
Big fan.
Let's talk fantasy value, though, right? He has a lot of value in Carolina based on the reasons you said, but they have a stud back there now who is on his last wheels, admittedly. I see Christian McCaffrey more of a change of pace back. I don't think he'll be the starter necessarily, but I think he'll maybe touch it a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he won't be starter in name, but he's definitely going to be fantasy relevant, particularly in a PPR, because they didn't take him at number 7 not to utilize him appropriately. They took him to have him catch out of the backfield, line him up in the slot, screens. He can still carry 8, 10, 12 times a game and carve out quite a bit of value. Jonathan Stewart wasn't particularly impressive last year. He's getting older. He's getting slower. Remember those games where 20 carries, 64 yards, one touchdown? It'd save his value with the touchdown, but he's not running super well.
Yeah, I agree. I'm very curious to see how they use him this year. I think next year he'll have more fantasy value, but we'll see how it goes. And now let's talk about the second light of your life, the quarterback you wanted before our college draft last year. Kansas City trades up a ton of spots for him. I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought it was smoke and mirrors. But your boyfriend, Patrick Mahomes, gets drafted at 10. The odd thing to me still is Alex Smith is under contract for another year with an option for a second. And he's run Andy Reid's system quite well. And Patrick Mahomes lacks footwork. He's a gunslinger, but lacks footwork.
He lacks more than footwork, but let's rewind, right? So we took him in college fantasy. We watched him so much last year.
He spoiled us.
I'm very confident in saying I watched 90% of the snaps that he took last year, all from shotgun, mind you. And we kept watching him. And, you know, there were times when you would say, well, he's not really an NFL prospect. And I would tell you he is. Because he's got such good size and he's got a cannon for an arm and he's mobile. He's very mobile for somebody that big. And some NFL team is going to fall in love. Now, definitely not a week one rookie starter. But damn, if it's not the best situation for him. Andy Reid is a proven quarterback coach. Look, he's getting the most out of Alex Smith and Alex Smith blows. And to your point, Alex Smith having another year with an option is a benefit to Mahomes. He can sit for a while. He can learn to go under center. He can learn to move his feet appropriately. He can learn to not make such stupid decisions. But a lot of that was a function of his offense. He had very, very minimal help. His play calling was really, really bad. And he lacked time to throw because his offensive line was shit.
Yeah, my fear of him is nobody from the Cliff Kingsbury School of Quarterbacks, who is the head coach of Texas Tech and used to be a quarterback there, has done well in the NFL. So I'm really curious to see how this transition goes. But essentially, for 2017, Patrick Mahomes holds no value unless you're in a dynasty league and you could take him late because he might not touch the field this year. It's questionable if he touches the field next year, which is the popular sentiment.
There's no way he gets a start this year unless Alex Smith gets hurt or is absolutely atrocious. But he's not ready right now anyway. So he'd be off the radar this year unless, like you said, it's a dynasty kind of a league. And that goes for the vast majority of these rookies anyway. It's different if, you know, it's a keeper league or a dynasty where you take them, you stash them, and you wait a little bit.
Okay, and then rounding out the rest of the first round was basically the top defensive players that most people had anticipated would go. Some notables included Dory Jackson, a guy you have big love from USC. A couple more include Jabril Peppers out of U of M. People didn't know what to do with him or where he'd go. He ends up falling to Cleveland late. Personally, I love it because of his versatility. I know you think he was overrated.
I think it's very, very overrated, yes. He doesn't have a true position. He's supremely athletic, but I didn't feel like he was as good a tackler as people made him out to be. Didn't feel like he made as many plays as people, you know, would say that he would. He had one interception all year. And that was the last regular season game of the year off of a tip. He wasn't the game changer that so many said. Listen, if you're going to put him at Wildcat against Rutgers, okay, yeah, he's going to score from the 2-yard line. But he wasn't, to me, a true game changer. But let's just go back before we leave the first round. The other one that I think has some fantasy relevance is John Ross to Cincinnati. I'm a big fan of John Ross. He's basically Deshaun Jackson 2.0 if he can stay healthy, which has been a problem for him. But it's a really, really nice situation for him in Cincinnati opposite AJ Green, who of course is going to be the number one, gets a ton of attention. But they've got options, right? Like Tyler Boyd came on last year. Tyler Eifert, if he can be healthy, is a good, good, good tight end who attracts attention. So John Ross can do what he does best, which is basically just run really fast and catch deep balls. I like that a lot. He can carve out a role there.
So speaking of John Ross, who's out of Washington, he broke the all-time combine record, Chris Johnson's. He ran a 40.422, and everybody fell in love with him. We also temporarily owned his quarterback, who threw a ton of touchdowns to him this year.
Jake Browning.
Jake Brown, yes. And I think he's a little overrated. I don't think he played good defenses. I don't think he can get much separation outside of straight line running. I think he's more of a wait and see guy, personally. Yeah, I wouldn't touch him sooner than like the 12th round.
But you utilize him like a D-Jax, right? Like Deshaun Jackson isn't running gorgeous routes. He's not, you know, going over the middle and catching big third and eights, but D-Jax is catching the ball 20, 30, 40 yards on the field. He's taking the top off the defense, and it's helping everybody else. I'm not saying this year he's going to be super, super impactful, but I think he'll be like a nice bye week fill-in in your flex position where maybe, you know, he gets you that 60-yard touchdown and he's like a 14.
Yeah, but that's 10, 12, 13th round value then.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just saying, okay. I think it's possible he carves out a little role next year.
All right, then let's get into round two, where Zay Jones went to Buffalo. And Zay Jones, for those that don't know, broke the all-time NCAA record for most receptions, which is very impressive. He played in an offense that was very catered to him in his position, because sometimes he'd play as the X position, the outside receiver. Sometimes he played inside the slot. Do you think he has actual fantasy value in Buffalo this year?
I do, especially in a PPR, because he's just a reception machine. A lot of his catches were at the line of scrimmage and just a couple yards down the field. But if you get a point for it, you get a point for it. Who cares? True. The other thing is Buffalo has nothing in the way of targets. They gave up all their draft capital a couple of years ago to trade up to the top five to get Sammy Watkins. It broke the other day. They might not even pick up his fifth-year option, which is beyond sad and has a lot to do with why their GM got fired today. So, I mean, really, who else is there? Robert Woods?
Right.
And Charles then, Clay?
Moving back on to Carolina in round two, shockingly take Curtis Samuel, who is out of Ohio State. We got to see a lot of him personally as Michigan Wolverine fans. He's very athletic compared to Percy Harvin Light.
Yeah.
He's not a pure running back. He's not a pure receiver. But let's talk from a fantasy value. Does he have any this year? My answer is no. He really doesn't.
Yeah, I would agree with you. To me, not so much. It's going to take him a minute, I think, to carve out a role. Super talented, super athletic, but you know, between whatever McCaffrey's going to give you, Kelvin Benjamin, they're hoping at some point Devin Funchess takes the next step too, right? I just don't see it.
Okay, and then moving on, a guy we got to see up close and personal quite a bit at Florida State was Delvin Cook. He ends up at Minnesota, who just signed my buddy Latavius Murray, and I'm kind of wondering, what are they going to do there? Do you think Cook is the starter?
I think by midseason, Cook will receive more touches per game than Latavius Murray. Latavius Murray blows. If Latavius Murray was good, Oakland would have re-signed him. He sucks. That's why he had a soft market, and Minnesota picked him up on the cheap. He sucks. Minnesota traded up to get Cook, too, so that's how comfortable they feel with Murray. Cook, I love. I hate that Minnesota drafted him because we're going to have to face him twice a year now, but he's going to be damn good, I think.
So you think second, third round type value?
No, because Latavius Murray is still there, and if Murray's the goal line back or whatever else, it's going to take a minute. Definitely in a dynasty, I'd be all over him. Keeper league, I'd be all over him. In a redraft, maybe 10th. If he has a nice preseason, maybe the 8th, but then you're still hoping he's touching it enough.
Okay, and then maybe the most polarizing player in the whole draft. Nobody knew where Joe Mixon would get drafted. Everybody knows the backstory. He punched a girl, and it was on video. He got suspended at Oklahoma for doing it, and people wanted him out of the draft, but here he is. His intangibles and tangibles are through the roof. A lot of scouts had him as maybe the best running back in a very running back heavy class. And he lands in Cincinnati, a very interesting situation because a guy named Jeremy Hill has been there for years, who we owned in college, we've owned in the NFL, and your old boyfriend, Gio Bernard, is also there out of North Carolina, and you used to own him and had a lot of love for him. But how does he factor into that backfield then?
I think that's going to be that for Jeremy Hill. I think either he's going to be released or his role is going to be greatly, greatly reduced. This is the second year in a row now his yards per carry have gone down, and he's just been bad for the past 2 years. It's like his rookie year was a mirage or something at this point. Mixon is beyond talented. I think to your point, he would have been the next running back drafted after Fournette had he not had, you know, that little situation, which was a big situation. But he's extremely, extremely good. It wouldn't surprise me if he was fantasy relevant very, very early on. Very early on. Because Gio's very good to me in a PPR. He catches the ball, but Mixon can carry it 15, 20 times a game. Gio can still have a role.
What round would you take Mixon this year?
Depending on what happens with Jeremy Hill, like fifth or sixth. I got a lot of love for you. He's extremely talented. He's so good, and that offense is wide open.
I agree. Fifth or sixth for me would be a little bit too rich in blood because he's not the primary back. I probably wouldn't do it until the later rounds. I like primary guys. I think it's too much of a mishmash backfield, and it's been that way for years.
Problem is there are no primary guys anymore outside of like a Dave Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott. Everybody's in a timeshare.
That's true, and that's why I would take him later. Jumping into the third round, the New Orleans Saints did something very shocking to me. They traded up early in the third round to take Alvin Kamara out of Tennessee. A guy we watched a few times, wasn't very impressed with, but apparently his testing through the combine and whatnot looked pretty good. Teams fell in love with him, but it's kind of confusing.
I'm not a huge fan of Kamara, but even going back, what the hell are the Saints doing? They re-signed Ingram a couple years ago. Ingram is very good and effective. Sean Payton really doesn't like him for some reason because he deferred to Tim Hightower a lot. Tim Hightower isn't half the back that Ingram is. They did bring in Adrian Peterson, so you figured it'd be kind of a two-headed monster there. I have no idea what the hell they're doing, to tell you the truth. They're just creating fantasy confusion at this point. You kind of got to avoid all of it, I think, until you see how it plays out. But like last year, Ingram was going in the third, fourth round. Can you really do that again this year? You can't.
Yeah, I agree. I think Alvin Kamara holds next to no fantasy value this year. I personally wouldn't even draft him. The Saints historically don't ride a single running back. It's always a mishmash of two to three guys back to the Travis Cadet days. It's quite confusing. Personally, I would dodge him like the plague. Continuing in the third round, there's a couple of picks that I really liked and found interesting. A guy we owned out of the University of Texas who got to be drafted by his hometown team, the Houston Texans, was Deontay Foreman. What do you think of him in that type of situation?
I think it's a great, great situation. He's a really, really good, powerful downhill runner. He's really, really tough to tackle. And for a big boy, once he gets going, he gets going. So I like him a lot. Lamar Miller, they gave him the touches they promised him, but he kind of broke down, and it kind of explains why Miami never really made him the true every down back. He couldn't hold up. He was injured a lot. And then they were throwing in like Alfred Blue, who blows. So this is a really, really nice situation for Foreman. I think worst case week one, worst case, he's the goal line back, right?
Yeah. Some mixture of him and Lamar Miller will have to coexist. My problem is, what do you do with him from a fantasy standpoint then?
If Foreman is the slam dunk goal line back, you're going to draft him probably, what, 9th, 10th round or so. Lamar Miller will probably get overdrafted for me. I wouldn't touch him really anymore unless he's like a value at, you know, like the 7th round. Maybe he could be your RB2, but I highly doubt he slips that far.
Honestly, I'd only draft him if I was going to cuff him to Lamar Miller. Otherwise, I'd avoid him until I figure out what's happening in that situation. I think he's going to hold more value in 2 to 3 years from now than he is his first year.
I prefer to just grab Foreman and hope I can start him at flex or something.
There's the potential there. And then a couple more in the third round I want to talk about. Jordan Lewis out of Michigan, a big fan. He ends up going to the Cowboys, who I think we both agree had a great draft. And then Friday night, we couldn't watch the second, third round together because you had an engagement to be at. But we started texting each other when the Lions drafted Kenny Golladay. Not very well known nationwide, but you and I know him quite well.
So Golladay is a guy that week one of our college football season last year, we actually played against. They fucking played Wyoming. I'm still scarred. The game was supposed to kick at like 9:45 or some shit like that out in Wyoming. And there was rain, lightning, whatever. Gabe didn't start until close to like 11:20 or 11:30. Our matchup came down to it. And I'm watching Golladay and he's kicking our ass. Catching everything. Catching touchdowns. Reverses for touchdowns. He ended up putting 50 fucking fantasy points on us, and I still have nightmares of that game because it didn't end until literally the middle of the night, and it just crushed my soul. So I tracked him from there. We ended up owning somebody on Northern Illinois later in the year, so I watched Golladay quite a bit. He's very, very, very impressive. He's a big boy. He's 6'4", he's 220, super athletic. He ran a 4.5 at the combine. The problem is people didn't really pay much attention to Northern Illinois. People don't really scout that hard. So the national pundits, and I use that term very, very loosely, shit on the pick because they don't really know a lot about the player. The one that really, really stuck out to me and kind of pissed me off as a Lions fan is the expert, again, loosely, for CBS Sports, shit on the pick. And he said, you know, Golladay is deficient in speed and that worries him. But again, he's 6'4", and he ran a 4.5.
Yeah, so, but from a fantasy standpoint, 10th, 11th round, maybe even 12th?
Later. It's going to be later because Tate and Jones are still there. They're going to be the starters. Ebron is going to have a role. Lions drafted another tight end that could potentially have, like, a goal line type role. It's going to be a minute. He should probably be undrafted, to tell you the truth. Kind of a wait and see. It's possible he ends up filling the Anquan Boldin role in the offense. Boldin led the team in touchdowns last year, but it's a wait and see. I definitely wouldn't draft him in like the 10th or 11th round, though. It's too high.
Okay.
Maybe a flyer in the last round, maybe.
And then in the fourth round, two guys that might be fantasy relevant. Jacksonville takes the Oklahoma wide receiver, D.D. Westbrook, who was a Heisman finalist, but never tested and didn't go to any of the combines.
Off-the-field issues.
Several of those. And I also want to talk about my guy that I owned 2 years ago and I have mad love for. Josh Reynolds goes to the Rams. He's got very good measurables, size, and speed. I think he's fantasy relevant this year as a late-round flyer.
I'll touch on Didi and I'll leave you with Josh because I know Josh Reynolds is your boy. Personally, I think he's fantasy worthless because Jared Goff is shit. But going back to Didi, Didi's somebody that I like a lot as a player. The only problem is a lot of options there already. Like Bortles is not lacking for options, and Bortles can't really get the ball to anybody. But like Julius Thomas, if healthy, is going to have a good role. Oh, shit. Julius Thomas is gone, isn't he? He's in
right,
Miami now.
He's gone.
Excuse me.
Yep.
But still, Allen Robinson is for sure the number one. They have Allen Hurns. Yep. Bortles likes Rashad Green. Marquise Lee came on quite a bit last year.
Yep.
So I don't really know what kind of role Didi would have in that offense to garner any fantasy attention this year.
Okay. And then Donald Pumphrey ends up in the Eagles. Donald Pumphrey, who we have owned in the past. We watched a lot of San Diego State. We used to compare him to Darren Sproles light, as he ended up getting compared to in the draft. I think he might actually hold fantasy value this year.
Yeah, it's a really, really nice situation for him, and he's a perfect kind of Eagles back. They like the smaller, shiftier type, more versatile backs. He fits in really well. The other really nice thing is there's not much on that roster. They drafted Wendell Smallwood last year. I don't know about you. He doesn't impress me in the slightest.
Correct.
It's a really, really nice situation that Pumphrey's walking into. I think he can garner some solid PPR value this year. again, I mean, I wouldn't go crazy. It'd have to be like after the 10th, 11th round, but see how the preseason shakes out. See if he's going to be atop that depth chart, or even if he's going to be, you know, a kind of player that plays a good amount of snaps. Maybe he can catch 3, 4, 5 balls a game.
Okay, and then in the 5th round, your buddy, and I soured on him hard, Brian Hill goes to the Falcons, running back out of Wyoming.
You know, we haven't gotten a chance to talk about this. Remember when we bet that he wouldn't get drafted, and I promised you he would get drafted? He's very, very impressive. Going back to that fucking week one nightmare, Northern Illinois played Wyoming. Brian Hill was impressive. Every time I watched him, he was impressive. He's a good back. It's a really, really good value. I like it. I think he's a good back.
I already think Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman have that market locked up. He's maybe the third, fourth option there, and I see no fantasy value out of the guy. I kind of feel like they drafted him a bit too high from an NFL perspective and from a fantasy perspective.
Not too high. You need depth. Remember, Tevin Coleman dealt with injuries all of last year.
Okay, and then the other interesting one, a guy we wanted to draft in last year's college fantasy draft. We missed him. He got taken early in the first round. He ends up in a very interesting situation to me in Tampa Bay is Jeremy McNichols. You think he has fantasy value this year?
Yes, because I'll ask you, what else is there?
Well, my old friend Dougie Martin,
he blows,
is going to be suspended the first 3 weeks. So that means, is McNichols starting? And what kind of value do you think he has from a fantasy draft
standpoint? Dirk Cutter likes a quiz. They still have Peyton Barber, who they gave some run to last year, but wasn't impressive at all. If McNichols is a starter, I'm a big, big fan. I would draft him maybe 3rd or 4th round if he's going to be the starter. That's an explosive offense. Jameis is getting better every year. I'm not a fan of his, but objectively, he's getting better every year. He's impressive. He's got weapons. They drafted O.J. Howard to open up the middle of the field. That's a nice situation.
Moving on to the 6th and 7th round, a notable... The Browns take Zane Gonzalez, the highest-rated kicker out of Arizona State. He doesn't miss. He's got a big leg.
He doesn't fucking miss.
I'm mentioning him because I think he's going to have fantasy value from a kicker standpoint. I'm a big fan. The other big fan that went in the 7th round, I owned him 2 years ago out of Virginia Tech. I didn't get a chance to draft him this year, unfortunately. Was Isaiah Ford goes to Miami.
You mean your boyfriend, Isaiah Ford.
That's right. I think he's got unlimited upside.
Oh, Lord.
But you have roster concerns for him.
Absolutely. First of all, I don't believe that he has unlimited upside. I think he's just another guy, basically. He caught a lot of balls at Vatek, but that was a function of not having anything else, really. And he wasn't, you know, running amazing routes, catching balls 15, 20 yards on the field. It was close to the line of scrimmage. 8 catches, 84 yards. But beyond that, it's not really an ideal situation. Miami, Jarvis Landry, Kenny Stills, Devontae Parker, they're pretty loaded. I don't see how he could carve out anything beyond maybe a fifth receiver role. Maybe.
Okay, and then let's just talk about the UDFAs for a moment. UDFA is the undrafted free agents, which typically happens after the draft where teams don't have to spend a draft pick on these players. I thought there was quite a few notables, and I'm going to name a few and let me know what you think.
Deal.
Fred Ross, wide receiver out of Mississippi State, gets picked up by the Carolina Panthers. Artavis Scott, your old boyfriend out of Clemson, gets picked up by San Diego. Corey Clement, the lead back out of Wisconsin.
Philadelphia, right?
Yep. Gets picked up by Philadelphia. You think any of those three guys have value in UDFA land?
Ross and Scott, no. Fred Ross was like a supremely talented guy. High recruit, but he never really flashed. He never really developed. I'd be surprised if he made the roster. Artavis Scott is a piece of shit. I'd be shocked if he made an NFL roster myself. Maybe if he looks into a return job position, but he'll have no fantasy relevance. Corey Clement is interesting in that, like I said, the Eagles don't have much in the way of running backs. That's why, you know, the pump free thing was ideal, but I'd be really surprised if he ended up on the fantasy radar at all this year as well.
Okay. Going down the UDFA list, a guy out of Northwestern from the Big Ten, he led the team in receptions, yards, touchdowns. Austin Carr.
Yeah, that's your boy. I'm going to defer that to you. Yeah.
He reminds me of a Wes Welker, Julian Edelman light.
dope.
They used the heck out of him. I was a big advocate of his. I was upset that we missed him. I think he can do good things in New England, although their wide receiver core is very set. But I think in a couple of years, I would definitely dynasty draft him late.
Yeah.
I wouldn't fantasy draft him this year. Big fan. And then two interesting guys that we have owned, one of them this year, the other one 2 years ago. Kady Cannon was our first college receiver off the board. He UDFA's to San Francisco. He's got speed for days. He has good hands, but he does have the drops. He was very productive at Baylor. And Travis Rudolph out of FSU ends up as a New York Giant. Anything there that you think is interesting?
Cannon has potential, but, you know, like you said, he had a little bit of a problem with drops and he has a hard time separating. I'd be surprised if he, you know, ever developed into anything. Travis Rudolph in New York, even if he makes the roster, what is he going to do from a fantasy perspective? Beckham, Marshall, they drafted a tight end in the first round. Evan Engram. Sterling Shepard, I'm a big fan of, is solidified in that number three role. So he'll be worthless even if he makes the roster, basically.
Okay, so you're not a huge fan either way. I think Kady Cannon is very interesting.
Yeah, that's your boy.
And he's the type of guy that you could potentially look at taking a very late flyer on and hoping he starts coming on late in the season. I think it'll take him a minute because he comes from a wide open spread offense. But really, wide receiver, San Francisco doesn't have much that makes you go, ooh, ah, I've got to get that receiver. I think he might get run, say, after week 6 or 7. I think he might actually hold some value.
It's possible if he's gonna luck his way into playing time, but I think he's going to have an uphill battle just to get there. If he gets there, it's possible because, like you said, they have nothing by way of wide out there, but I got to see it first. I don't know that I would spend a draft pick on him.
Okay. Well, you know, as a whole, this year's draft was very fun. Last few years, you've seen a lot of O-line men and defensive players go. Even though we know who they are, they're not sexy skill position fantasy players. This year, you got to see more early than anticipated. Thought it was great as a whole. Any other thoughts you want to say about the draft that we may have skimmed over or not spoken about?
Nothing particularly fantasy relevant, but I would say, like you said, it's fun that all the shenanigans happened in the first round. The Bears losing their mind and acting like fucking morons. For Trubisky, KC mortgaging, you know, a lot to go up and get a guy that even favorably for them won't play for at least a year is a lot of fun. It's exciting. Admittedly, it worked from the standpoint of the draft wasn't really heavy on offensive linemen because, like you said, typically they get drafted a ton. It wasn't super, super deep in like defensive tackle. That's why you saw the edge rushers go, but not a ton of D tackles get drafted. So it just kind of worked itself out. It was far, far more exciting than it typically is.
Yeah, I totally agree. And this is going to be the football time of year where they start doing OTAs, voluntary workouts and whatnot, and not much going on in fantasy land outside of injuries that happen until actual scrimmages. And then the preseason starts, we'll learn more. And we'll definitely touch on more of NFL and college as the months come up and we start gearing up for those future drafts. But this year, I lost my baseball virginity as a fantasy player, as you are a baseball veteran, and that's what I want to start talking about in our future podcasts, because I still have a lot to learn as a virgin, but you helped me tremendously with my draft.
Absolutely. Love baseball. I love fantasy baseball. Haven't been doing it for too long. I believe this is like my fifth year, but I absolutely fell in love with it. Correct in that this is your first year, but coincidentally, you're doing great and I'm doing fucking terribly. That's just kind of the way it worked out, but I'm really looking forward to going into it in depth in the future because that's fun.
Should be exciting. You helped me with 75% of my roster at least as I was checking in with you and we drafted together, which is maybe why you're having a poor year and I'm having a pretty good year.
That's how I justify it mentally and keep myself from going fucking nuts.
And I don't know the baseball players very well, so we can talk about transactions and starting as I didn't take your baseball advice a couple of weeks ago, which blew up in my face. But it's an interesting gambit, this baseball thing.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much to it. There's so much on the surface. There's so much that you can dig deep into. It's a lot of fun, and there's a lot there.
Awesome. Okay, everybody. We're hoping to be a fantasy broadcast for you guys, and we will gladly accept your feedback about other topics you might want to talk about. Rams, I think this was a successful first run. Look forward to doing it with you again very soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, brother.
Thanks for listening to Fantasy Advice Bros, presented by Gabber Media.